It's time now for the WBNJ Unforgettable Radio Theater with your host, Michael Alexander.
Once again, it's time for another journey back to the golden age of radio. As your announcer said, I'm Mike Alexander, your travel guide for the journey. While we are in the golden age of radio, we will listen to some of the classic radio shows of that time. Find yourself a comfortable seat on the time portal. While I get things ready, I'll fill you in where this week's journey will take us. This week's episodes from the Golden Age of Radio will be to honor Humphrey Bogart. We'll travel to 1943 to listen to a comedy program with Bogart as the guest. Then it's off to 1946 to listen to Bogart in an episode from a program that presented capsulized versions of hit motion pictures. Before we begin the journey back, here's the answer to last week's question. I told you that Cary Grant was chosen by the American Film Institute as the second greatest male actor of the golden age of Hollywood cinema. I asked you to name the number one male star. The answer is the man we honor on this journey, Humphrey Bogart. There were a lot of correct answers. Looks like we have old movie buffs as well as radio buffs listening to the program. Things are all set to go. Get comfortable as we start back to the golden age of radio. Sunday, September 12, 1943, will be the first stop to listen to an episode from The Charlie McCarthy Show with Humphrey Bogart as the guest. Humphrey DeForest Bogart's birthday has been reported as January 23, 1899 and December 5, 1899. It is reported that Warner Brothers Studios created the Christmas birth to romanticize Bogart's background. Bogart's birth certificate was never found, so who knows? Bogart always celebrated his birthday on December 25th. For our purposes, we are using the January birthday. Bogart was born in New York City. Bogart's parents were very successful. His father was a surgeon and his mother a commercial illustrator. In fact, she used a baby Humphrey drawing in a well-known advertising campaign for Mellon's baby food. They lived in a fashionable Upper West Side apartment in New York City and had a cottage in upstate New York. Bogey attended Trinity School in New York City and then the prestigious prep school Phillips Academy in Andover, Massachusetts. He was expelled from the academy. The details of the expulsion are disputed. There is also a story that his father pulled him out of the academy due to poor grades. So we'll never know. I'm turning back the Time Portal's radio dial to Sunday, September 12, 1943, to listen to The Charlie McCarthy Show with Humphrey Bogart as the guest.
Presents Edgar Bergen, William Caxton, Victor Moore, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Dale Evans, the sportsman, yours truly, Bill Goodwin, our special guest, Humphrey Bogart, and Charlie McCarthy.
Welcome to Jason Sam, Mr. Bogart.
Thank you, Charlie. Hey, Charlie, does this particular week mean anything to you?
Yeah. I gotta go back to school, if that's what you mean.
Well, that's important, but there's something more important, Charlie.
Huh?
We're starting America's third war loan to raise $15 billion before the end of this month. And I'll tell you what that means, Charlie. It means that 50 million bonds must be sold in order to back the attack. And we cannot afford to fail. Our government is asking us to loan, not give, but loan our money by purchasing additional bonds. That means we must dig deeper into our wages and savings so that we can join the attack with everything we've got. The future looks bright. We're on the way to victory. But victory is not in the bag. It's up to us, the people, to prove that we are willing to match every sacrifice made by our fighting men by buying as many war bonds as we can afford. To ensure final victory, all of us must invest every cent that is not absolutely needed for food, shelter, and other necessities of life into the purchase of extra war bonds during this third war loan drive.
Army
done, Ray, and very timely. Charlie, oh, excuse me. Charlie, please.
What?
I would like to talk to you.
Yes, Mr. Berger.
I have something here that I want you to sign.
Excuse me.
I want you to sign something.
Sign? What is it?
Well, it's right here. If you must know what it is, it's an employee's withholding exemption certificate. Employee's withholding exemption certificate.
Would you mind dragging that past a little slower?
Yeah. Well, what it is, Charlie, it's a new, it's a new tax plan.
Oh, is it?
Yes. And, you know, it's, you pay as you go.
Oh, I do?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, then you better pay, because I ain't gonna go.
Well, this tax plan will affect your allowance.
You mean my measly 75 cents a week?
Yes, Charlie.
Oh, don't pick on that.
Well, and this is the blank that you have to fill out.
I see. What does it say?
Well, you can read right there.
See, it says,
Well, you put your name and address here.
Yes.
And check the box in the line below that applies to you.
Oh, I see.
Well, of course, the first one doesn't apply to you.
Oh, why doesn't?
Well, it's married person living with husband.
Oh, no, I'm not living with my husband. I left him.
Yeah.
He was a brute, he was. He was just no good. I despised the man.
John, please.
He beat me. All. No one will ever know what I went through.
Oh.
What's number two? Is married person living with wife? Well, that's not me.
No, that's not you.
Third one is a single person not living, not married, not nothing.
Closer, yeah.
I guess I'm number four.
What's that?
Single husband, not married.
Yeah, that's
me.
Now, Charlie.
Yes?
If you want me to help you out with this application blank, you'd better cut out this nonsense.
Very good, sir.
And can you fill this slip? I say, can you fill out this slip?
What, do you think I have the figure for?
Yeah, no. But, Charlie. Charlie, you ought to be able to figure this out yourself.
Yes, let me see. 20%.
Yes.
Have you got a pencil?
Yes, it's here.
Thank you. Now, let's see.
Now, how do you get 20% of 75 cents?
Yes, let's see. I put down 75.
That's right. Then put your decimal point 20 under it.
Yes, 20 decimal point.
That's right. And multiply 20 times 75.
20 times 75, yes. Oh, yeah, I got it now. O times O, that's O.
Yeah.
I put down a goose egg.
That's right.
O times 7 is, O times 7, see. That's a sticker, isn't it?
Oh, that's O, too. That's O, too, yeah.
It comes out O.
That's right. 00 is correct.
Yeah, I've been working like a dog, and I got nothing to show for it.
Now, continue. Now, the 2 and the 5.
Oh, yes. If five goes into 2, well, it doesn't go, does it?
No. There's no use forcing it.
No.
No, Charlie, you've made a mistake. You carry the 7.
Oh, I carry the 7.
Yes,
I carry the 7.
Yes.
Why don't I carry the 0? It's lighter.
No.
Let's see.
Now, you put down the 0. Now, what about your 7?
I'm going to work on that right now.
All right.
The 7. I got to jack up the 7 and times 2 and plug in 1. 7 and 2 times 7 is 14.
That's right.
Yeah, it's 14. Bring down to 4 and add 1, pearl 3.
No.
Siphon out the 7 and saute the goose egg.
No.
You slap it all together and it comes out around 131, except February, which is 28.
Oh, no.
Hey, what's the trouble, Charlie? What's going on?
Well, Charlie's trying to figure 20% of his 75 cents a week allowance, and it didn't come out so good.
It's one of those impossible problems, Mr. Goodwin.
Oh, I see. Well, Charlie, it would be much easier to figure it out if you asked Bergen to raise your allowance to $1 a week.
Yeah. You're new around here, aren't you?
Why do you waste your time on that, Charles? You don't have to pay any 20% unless you're getting over $12 a week.
Yes, I know, but... what did you say? Is that right, Bergen?
Well, I haven't read the form very closely.
Well, Bergen, you can't.
Well, Charlie, please, don't touch me,
Charlie. You've ultra-violated my trust.
What?
You framed me like a picture.
Oh, now, Charlie, please.
No, Charlie. Let go my lateral.
Now, Charlie.
Boy, you feel my...
No, 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 no.
smell of murder.
No. That's not a murder, Charlie. It's William Gaxton singing.
Now I know it's murder.
Hello there, Charlie. Say, Charlie, how would you like to make $1 million?
Yeah. Bergen, the guy ain't only a murderer, he's a con man.
Now, no kidding, Charlie. I've been looking for a nice young fella that I can make into a crooner. I inserted an ad in the paper, and if the right young fella comes along with $25, I'll make him famous.
Hello. Excuse me, are you the man who's looking for a young man to make famous for $25?
Yes, sir, I'm the man.
Let's get out of the joint, Bergen. Gaxton's landed a sucker.
Before I make you one of the most talked of men in the world today, I must ask you a very personal question. What is your name?
My name is Victor Moore, and I'm anxious to become famous. Here's the $25. Now, what's the gimmick?
All right. Now, here's my plan briefly. Mr. Moore, I believe in giving the world what it wants. And what the world wants right now is a crooner with swoon power.
You mean another singing Sam?
Yeah. That's the idea, but not clearly. I suppose, Mr. Moore, that you've done some singing.
Oh, yes. I was a pin boy in a quartet.
You said a pin boy in a quartet?
Yes. I stood right next to the tenor, and when he couldn't reach the high notes, I stuck him with a pin.
Well, now, you're not planning on singing under your own name, are you, Mr. Moore?
No, I put everything in my wife's name.
One of the first things that you must have before you can become a successful swoon singer is to have a glamorous name. One that people will remember. Something original. I've got it, Hank Spinutra. That's it. We'll call you Hank Spinutra.
Hank Spinutra.
Yeah.
That sounds too much like Bing Crosby.
Now, I think we better test your voice. Now, go over here. Now, just go ahead and sing one note for a starter.
No.
We could use a little oil on that starter. You've never taken singing lessons before, have you, Mr. Moore?
Oh, yes. I took some lessons years ago, but I had to quit.
You became discouraged?
Well, sort of. My teacher shot himself.
Shot himself. Well, that's understandable. Now, let's delve into your family background a bit. You come from a musical family?
Oh, yes. My cousin traveled for 2 years with Nelson Eddy.
Traveled with Nelson Eddy? Well, what did your cousin do?
He put the raisins in Mr. Eddy's shortening bed.
Well, with that sort of a background, you can't miss. Now, will you sing just a note for me, please, Mr. Moore? Just one more note. That's it. No, there's an awful lot of work to be done on your voice. Lots of it.
Well, you've got to take into consideration I'm just at the age when my voice is changing.
Oh, yes. Well, any change would be an improvement. Now, Mr. Moore, the principle of the Gaxton method lies in proper breathing. Do you know how to breathe?
Oh, I've been breathing for years.
Well, you'd never know it. Now, let's breathe properly now. Now, just take a deep breath and throw out your chest. By the way, where is your chest?
I don't know.
Well, now, Mr. Moore, pay attention to me, please. In order to create swoon power, you must sing something modern, something new, like this one. Mad about him, sad about him, how can I be glad about him? Blues, ba-boo, ba-boo.
I ain't strong enough to even sing the title of that one.
Why, of course you are. Now, come on. Now, just try to croon. Come on, just try to croon this last number. Now, here it is. Now, you just try it. That's it. Now, come on. Open up.
Croon it?
Yeah, croon it. Open up there. Now, open your mouth. That's it. Come on now.
I'll try it.
All right.
Oh, for nothing at all. Oh, for nothing.
What happened?
My uppers came loose and choked me. Oh.
manpower shortage with they're either too young or too old. Simone, Dale, dear.
With anyone else but me. For there is no secret lover.
What's so far as to say that?
That the draft board didn't discover.
Your allowance.
Well, we can step out tonight if you got a little money.
You see? They're either too young or too old.
Da-da-da-da. You know, Bergen, I've decided that it's worse to own a jail than to be in one.
Is that so? Say, what's this gag about you owning a jail, Charlie?
Well, it's no gag, Bill. It all happened at a bond auction in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago. They gave away a jail in Harvard, Nebraska for the person who bought the largest bond.
Oh, I see.
He's quick, isn't he?
Well, everyone was bidding $1,000 and $2,000 and $5,000.
Yeah, and you know, I ain't a guy for keeping my mouth shut.
Well, Charlie ended up by buying the biggest bond in the place, which naturally I had to pay for.
Tell him about it.
Yeah. So, I'm making it Charlie's job to operate that jail at a profit now.
Yeah, and don't worry, I'm working it out, too.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
That's why I invited Humphrey Bogart over tonight.
Oh.
We got an angle.
You have an angle.
Oh, Mr. Bogart.
Oh, small fry. Met me, pal.
Huh?
Pumped a palm.
Oh. Yeah. Now, about this jail, I've been doing some thinking.
Oh, you have? Well, I have, too. Now, look, see?
Yeah.
I made a high-class joint, see?
Yeah.
I cater to a more refined class of crooks, see?
Oh, see.
We won't even call it a jail. We'll give it a handle like the Greystone Plaza.
That's good. Or handcuffed arms. That's good. Song,
yeah, sure we could. You mean something like, jail, the gang's all here.
I like it.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, nice fights you got, too. Nice. Either that song or we could use, when the stool pigeons come back to Capistrano. I'll come home and be a jailbird with you.
Now you're talking. And we'll advertise it as the only jail with duplex cells.
Yeah, we can even put in a bath for dirty crooks.
I don't think that'll work, Charlie.
Well, why not?
A real crook never comes clean. Too many C's in that.
Yeah. There's much in what you say, there.
Yeah, this stuff you suggest is okay, but do you think it's enough?
Well, maybe we should get some outstanding criminal to give the place a bad name, huh?
Hey, that's a great idea. Yeah. Who should we get?
Well, let's see.
Some friend of mine.
What am I thinking? Humphrey Bogart, of course.
Oh, gee, do you really think so, Charlie?
Certainly. Why, when it comes to a really low down despicable snake in the grass, you're the lowest down as crooked as rat there is. You're really a rat, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I try. But wait a minute, Charlie. How do I know I like it? For instance, how's the food? You serve meals in bed?
Yeah, sure. We give you a bunk breakfast, bunk lunch.
Well, what about dinner?
Well, that ain't so hot either.
Yeah, well, I don't know about this.
Once a week, we'll slip you a cake with a hacksaw in it. That's nice.
So I can cut the bars?
No, so you can cut the cake. And we'll even let you pull a jailbreak. Think of the publicity, huh?
Yeah, maybe I'd better. Let's see. I think I'll meditate it over.
Yeah. Well, of course, if you don't want the job, we can always get Mrs. Pruneface, you know. After all, in your last two pictures, you've been on the side of the law, you know.
And what do you mean by that crack?
Well, you're getting less hissable and more kissable. From my jail, that's no good.
Well, don't worry about that, Charlie. In my latest picture, I'm plenty tough.
You mean in that picture, Thank You, Lucky Stars?
No, I don't mean Thank You, Lucky Stars.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
It's all right. Yeah. I mean conflict.
Okay, pal, okay. How tough are you, in round figures?
Well, for one thing, I bump off my wife.
Uh-huh. Now you're talking sense. That's the Bogart I love. I guess you're still pretty tough, though, huh?
Now you said it, I'm tough. I'm the number one pinup boy in the post office. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Well, what I want to know is, are you well known among the bigger clinks, you know?
Am I well known among the bigger clinks, he wants to know. Why, most of the wardens call me by my first number.
Yeah. How about Roz? You usually pack a gat, don't you?
Certainly I pack a gat. I always carry at least two guns.
Two guns? Why two?
One doesn't shoot far enough.
Why don't you carry an automatic?
Hey, that's a good idea. I ought to do that. Yeah. Hey, they're pretty fast, huh?
Oh, yeah, very fast, yeah.
They are.
Yeah, I had one once and it shot off six times before I found out it wasn't loaded.
Oh, golly gee, Charlie, really?
Yeah. Now to get back to your career, did you ever pull a bank job?
Did I? Let me tell you about my job I pulled on the south side.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I walked into the lobby, see, and the bank is crowded with people. And you know what I did?
Stood in line?
No. I whips up my Tommy gun and thins out the population.
Oh, you are a ruffian.
Yeah, and just for laughs, I knocks off a couple of guards. And I started picking up the money.
Yeah.
I fills up my front pockets with gold, and I fills my back pockets with silver. I'm running for the door, my pockets loaded with money, and what happens?
Your pants fall down?
No, I run smack into two G-men and a copper. So I shoots the bull.
I'm afraid you're just not the type for my jail, that's all.
Oh, yeah?
No.
If I turn on a rust up, I'll scare any man in the joint.
Yeah? Well, I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to prove that, too. Ori, Mr. Noble. This is a pushover.
What is it, Tom Hoban?
This man wants to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a stick-up, bud. Give me 20 bucks and I want it fast.
Well, certainly, old chap. You sure have been now.
Never mind the cab. Give me the money.
I say, though, could you give me any collateral, you know?
Collateral?
Uh-huh.
I'll give you some lead.
Uh-oh. Well, what are they getting for lead nowadays?
This is awful.
Why, you poor dope, I'll take you for a ride.
You will. I'll tell you. Have you got a C card?
Aren't you afraid, Ray?
No. Should I be?
Oh, this is terrible. I'm disillusioned with you, Bogart.
Oh, gee whiz, Charlie. Hey, this means a lot to me. Please, Mr. Noble, be scared.
Well, frankly, I think you're a very likable fellow.
He thinks I'm a likable fellow. Well, how do you like that? If Warner Brothers ever hears about this, I'm washed up.
That's all, brother. That's all.
Bogart joined the Navy in 1918. After leaving the Navy, he joined the Naval Reserves and drifted into acting. He began his acting career on the Brooklyn stage in 1921. He never took acting lessons and had no formal training. After appearing in 21 Broadway productions, Bogart was cast as Duke Mantee the gangster in the play The Petrified Forest. He starred opposite Leslie Howard. Howard realized how crucial Bogart was to the play's success. When Warner Brothers bought the script to the play, they cast Leslie Howard in the role he played on Broadway. Warner Brothers chose Edward G. Robinson to play the Duke Mantee role. When Howard found out, he insisted that Bogey get the role. Realizing Howard would not budge, Warner Brothers relented and gave the part to Bogart. Upon release of the film in 1936, a new movie star was born. You're listening to the Unforgettable Radio Theater. Our trip back to the Golden Age of Radio will continue after this.